When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. There's one good thing about your football team right now, and it's not the thing you might expect.
What would I expect?
Exactly. There's nothing. There's nothing.
Right. As Sean Salisbury said when he came on here for the Friday preview, what did the Cowboys do well? No one has an answer.
No one has an answer.
Mike Zimmer's doing a decent job since the bye week. Schematically, it's pretty good. He's putting him in a position to succeed. He's doing some different things that are frustrating opposing offenses. Houston had a hell of a time at points of this game trying to figure out the disguised coverages. He did a really good job. Most of the season, Zimmer has not done much.
34-6 Eagles. That was a nice job.
Let's be honest. 20 points of those 40 were scored with the Eagles picking up a cumulative 55 yards. Like, I mean, they were given short fields. There was not much that Dallas's defense could do for 20 of those 34 points. And a lot of it also turns into, okay, when there's a three and out and the defense gets exhausted, there just reaches a point where players are gassed.
Yeah.
And a lot of that felt like it was happening here against Houston at times. I mean, there was a point, we were deep into the fourth quarter, they had allowed essentially 20 points and one of them with a short field. They'd played all right. And Houston was, given the personnel that they have right now, with the injuries and everything else, missing Deron Bland and Jordan Lewis, two of your top three corners. The other guys that they've missed in terms of on their defensive front for a lot of the season. Schematically, he's trying to do as much as he can to make things difficult on opposing teams. And I think it's worked in the last couple weeks, actually, where when we talk about, okay, what changes are you making at the bye week? What tweaks are you doing? Zimmer's defense has looked completely different schematically since they got out of the bye week. He's doing different things every week. And so I'm going to give him credit for he's making them competitive, at least on defense, when they didn't look like it before the bye week.
Okay.
But he ran a lot more. Every week he's doing.
Who has more of a chance next offseason of having a job? Mike McCarthy or Mike Zimmer?
What they've put on tape, Zimmer, by far. Like some other team would.
Next year. Which
Zimmer.
One is?
I don't think there's any chance Mike McCarthy gets another job of any kind. I think McCarthy's done.
Woo!
I just don't know that, like, just A, because of what they put on tape, B, because of what his reputation was leaving Green Bay, and C, how it's going to be doubled down on when he leaves Dallas. When he leaves Dallas, you guys can wait for all the Bleacher Report articles that are coming. There will be another round of those when he leaves Dallas. And
woo!
That's just the reality.
And I'll tell you all this. When McCarthy is gone, that day after show, you have to listen to Bobby Bell. I'm just telling you right now, if you miss that show, you are going to miss all the skeletons in the closet.
Just follow ML Football. You'll see him 3 hours after our show ends as exclusive.
If you're
reporting.
Ever going to just listen to the show one time in your life, that show after, listen. I'm just telling you.
We're going to empty the junk drawer. That's what
I'm going
to do.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But this is Mike Zimmer has actually done some good things. Every week he's tailoring the game plan specifically to the opposing offense in terms of it's not like this is my scheme and we roll with my scheme. Every week they're doing different things. They played a ridiculous amount of quarters coverage, cover four in this game that they have not played all year, which is zone defensive, four defensive back, like four defenders back, and then you've got three under defenders, and they did their best to try and take away some of what Stroud wanted to do. They did a good job bringing pressure with four at times, and honestly, frustrated CJ Stroud to the point that he had some issues up until it got late. Now, ultimately, you don't have great personnel, so tackling Joe Mixon was a problem at times, and doing different things with Joe Mixon was an issue. But schematically, at least, he was doing different things and has tried different things every week and tried to disguise different things. And I also
think it makes you feel good. I wanted, obviously, for own selfish purposes, for Zimmer to succeed.
And I think also it's...
Although the whole thing obviously overall is a failure.
Yeah, and I also think it's just the reality of you were implementing a new defense and it's very complex. And so these guys have gotten more comfortable with the responsibilities and the communication. And so that's naturally improved. So that's a positive right there, Mike Zimmer. Second.
And missing Bland is something we can never forget for this season.
Well, it's huge. Yeah. I mean,
if you think Bland, if you think he's actually better than Diggs or the same as Diggs, you're missing your number one corner and definitely one of the best number two corners in the league.
I mean, they've missed at various points of the season. They've missed Bland, Lewis recently, Kendricks, Overshone's been banged up at different times, Parsons, Lawrence. Like, they've missed a lot of guys on defense. Yeah, they've been hit harder on defense with the injuries for most of the season than they have offense. Speaking of offense, Jonathan Mingo.
Boy, he was really good this week.
He's a terrible football player.
Really good.
He's bad. He is. Like, I mean, like it stands out watching him run routes how bad he is.
But they were comfortable overpaying for him.
I was getting tweets yesterday that Bobby was not holding back in the 6 a.m. club, but
he was starting to get a little frustrated, I think, yesterday. He liked to pretend like, oh, I like the S show a little bit. What happened? You were
Choppy?
Trying to calm me down a little in the first hour.
Here's what happened. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm just gonna break it down. Bobby was mad at Peyton.
Peyton Russell. Really?
Peyton Fussell.
Mad at Peyton Russell because Peyton didn't come in yesterday.
Oh. Yep.
Well, I have CTO.
And soft. I said.
Gen Z.
And I said.
Yeah, we heard
like,
the snack.
It's not Peyton's.
That I uploaded.
It's not Peyton's fault. I said blame management.
I'm mad at McDonald's too. They didn't put the egg or the cheese on the McGriddles. They just gave us pancake with sausage. That's why that one ended up in the window over there.
Window?
Yeah, he threw it again. Bobby threw it against the window because Bobby's a child.
Yeah, I did.
He threw it in the McGriddle against the window.
Yeah, yeah. And then Choppy was like, calm down.
Yeah, I was like, just chill out. And then he starts going in on
Mike.
Did he
do it like funny or he?
Oh,
like,
no, he was mad.
No, it was anger. Yeah.
And then he starts going in on McCarthy, and I was like, all right.
Then I started going in on the fan text that was trying to tell me CeeDee Lamb had a freaking awesome game. He had eight catches for 96 yards. What do you mean he was terrible with his 2-3 drops and his dumb penalties and looking like he wasn't engaged in the game? No, he was bad. And you can box score scout all you want and have a low standard all you want. Just don't bitch when it gets to 3-7. And so that was the way that was. So see, post-up clarity, I don't have to revise my opinion on Lamb because Lamb was not good enough in the game. So there's no clarity on that one. That's the reality.
Definitely star down from other totals on CeeDee Lamb's body language. But Mingo, four targets, zero receptions. Give us his scouting report.
The only one, by the way, of 20 players on either team targeted in this game who didn't have a catch. And he got four targets and had no catches. He was absolutely awful running his routes. Just could not do anything to get any separation. Could not finish contested catches. He did not look very good. No, he's got speed.
Is he not refined?
He's not refined.
Is he not physical in his body?
That's the thing, is that he gets, for a guy as big as he is, he doesn't use his size well enough or often enough and gets boxed out of plays and just, he doesn't do anything to get separation. He's a poor technician. At least that's one game. I'm not going to make broad but given what we knew in Carolina and what we saw in this game, he was not good.
It makes Mike Bassick's theory on why the trade happened sound pretty brilliant and dead on. And his theory that Jerry heard all the noise getting destroyed and basically said in the meeting, trade for a receiver now. Mm-hmm. Get it. Do it.
But that one is so weird.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence.
and the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I mean, how many receivers are sitting there out there and available? But
Mike Williams. Amari Cooper.
Well, Amari wasn't coming back here. We all know that. And Amari didn't want to come back, which you know. But that theory makes sense that Jerry's like, I don't care. Just do it. Do it and get it done. Because otherwise, you got to kill Will McClay and the scouting department for what they saw on tape to bring him over here.
Well, and I mean, even still, they did not have him graded as high as he went from Carolina. And
they did not have him with a higher draft grade than the Panthers had?
Carolina picked him in the second. They had him graded in the third.
Oh.
And then even after they had him graded in the third and he's played the way that he has, the front office still said to give up a fourth.
There's a one-round difference?
Yeah, which is not what was put on tape. So I don't have any clue what
I have way more of a problem with the Mingo deal and compensation than Lance.
Yeah.
I have way more.
And the Mingo deal's quarterback.
The Mingo deal is going to be a better pick. The Mingo deal will be a better fourth rounder than the one you gave up for Lance.
Yeah, you basically gave up an end of third on a team that desperately needs cheap rookies.
You knew it, too. When you gave up the Lance deal, you didn't know what that pick was going to be, but you figured you were going to be competitive.
Yes.
You're in the middle of a bad season where you know that fourth round pick is going to be high. You still went, Jonathan Mingo, he's worth it. You essentially did give up because where you've been in recent years, you essentially did give up the exact round value that you gave him when he was coming out, even after we've seen on tape that he's not good.
Post-Hut Clarity with Bobby Roberto Belt studying in the film room here on The Fan.
Israel Mukwamu was not as good as I hoped. I was hoping that Israel Mukwamu stepping in and playing corner after coming in late for Kalen Carson would have been better than he was in this game. He wasn't awful, but it was just, it wasn't as good as I was hoping. I really like his size, his athleticism. He's really competitive. He's tough. It was a game where he didn't play particularly well, and he was they toyed with him a little bit at times, and so I was not super high on the way that Israel Mukwamu played, and that was a little bit disappointing because I was hoping that he could kind of finally transition into this position of just they've got him full time at corner because they've kind of yo-yoed him a little, had him do some safety stuff, had him do some corner stuff. He wants to be a corner. When he first got picked, he was picked as a guy who had played corner and safety at South Carolina, and Dallas had said, we're playing him at safety, and yet he came out in his post-draft interview and was talking all about how, I'm the best corner in this draft. And so he always wanted to play that spot. He's had good reps there in training camp against CeeDee Lamb. He's had good reps when he's had to step in at games. So this was a big opportunity for him to finally get some real big-time, full-time snaps and match up well with his size against Nico Collins. And in this game, he didn't play well enough, and that was something that was disappointing to me. I will say this. Here's one more positive and the last note that I had coming out of this game. And he's somebody that I gave some praise to last week, and he deserves praise moving forward. Carlos Watkins has been pretty good. Like he's somebody who's – that might be right now in the last few weeks, that might be the most consistent player on the defensive line. He's been a good player for them. And I will give credit right here. Mozzie Smith was not bad. Mozzie Smith played okay in this game, and that's 2 weeks in a row that he's strung together some decent performances. Now, Houston's got one of the worst offensive lines in football right now, and so there's a little bit of where you got to adjust it maybe and ask yourself, is that just the competition that Mozzie's going against? But we've seen pretty frequently, even against bad offensive lines, Mozzie's been bad. So I'll at least give him credit for executing against a poor offensive line. But Carlos Watkins, that's somebody who you could actually defend the run against with him in your defensive line.
My star up, star downs, just because I missed yesterday, I'll run through them real quick. I gave a star up to Cooper Rush's response. He played much better than the week before, but still nothing to like write home about. Not that anyone writes home anymore. Turpin.
Hello, Mata.
Turpin.
Hello, Fada.
With the 64-yard. It's sad. He's not going to be the number two weapon coming up for the Commanders game because it does not sound like Jake Ferguson is playing with a concussion. Turpin reached a top speed of 22.36 miles per hour on the touchdown catch. Fastest speed by a ball carrier this season. Fastest play by a Cowboys ball carrier in the next gen era since 2016.
Wow.
And Bill Belichick loves him some Kamate Turpin.
Which is Seth,
wink, wink.
As Seth Walder from ESPN Analytics pointed out, that was the second slant route the Cowboys have had Kavante Turpin run all year. And he's like, why?
What?
And he's like, why when you have somebody with that speed, Walder's like, why would you not be designing slant routes more often for that guy to get going?
Because we
space?
Need him having contested jump ball catches down the sideline.
It's almost like your play designer doesn't know what he's doing.
He gets, I mean, they do a lot of screens to him, or at least they try. They need to get him more. They do that CD play. That CD play they run. The end or reverse, I mean, that needs to be more Turpin.
Star up to the other tight ends. Span, Ford, and Schoon. I got to give them co-star ups in replacing Ferguson. I wrote down pass pro question mark because it seemed like Rush had some time that I was not anticipating. And then on the broadcast, they said Micah had 10 pressures. Did he jump out as being disruptive?
He was Micah. Now he wasn't finishing a lot of these ones, obviously, but I mean he was generating pressure. He was moving Stroud off his spot.
With his head up, you know what, too, though.
If this was Houston, like if we were in Houston and we were doing star up, star down, we would be giving a big star up to CJ Stroud for the way that he was maneuvering the pocket. Because he played, his pocket presence is the one area where Stroud still looks like a really young quarterback. And he did a good job stepping up in the pocket, avoiding some of the pressure, because there was a lot of it in this game and he still managed to avoid it.
My star downs were physicality against Joe Mixon. I told y'all he was going to punish them, a battering ram on Friday. Oh my God. I felt
he's big into battery. Yeah.
I felt for Trayvon Diggs' shoulders, like waking up yesterday morning. Holy crap. Diggs was just a punching bag out there for Mixon.
How embarrassing, though.
He tried.
He did try. Yeah, Leslie's proud.
There was no Olay there. He did get physical and try to make plays. But how embarrassing is it for Josh Butler? You get called up for the practice squad. You're active for this game. And then Joe Mixon does the too small right in the end zone, right in front of your face after you dive and miss him.
Star down for CD against Stingley. Holy crap, this kid's a stud. Was he a top six pick?
Yeah, he was the third overall pick.
Dude, him against Lamb was impressive. CD had at one point in the game two catches, 19 yards, Stingley interception, drew an offensive pass interference, CD with the two pre-snap penalties, the body language, even though he had a decent box score. But Stingley, that was my takeaway.
Star down to Derek Stingley for doing anything he could to not talk to Slater post-game for our on-field interview. Dude, he was like, PR's like pushing him like, hey, you've got to do this. And he's like literally moving back. He's like, he doesn't like doing TV interviews, I guess.
Oh.
So he'd refuse. Star up to Nico Collins, who did do it and was super respectful and kind when nobody else wanted to hang around and talk on the field.
Star down to Cowboy defensive backs who love playing 6 yards off on third down. I know you gave Zimmer.
On third and four.
Holy crap. Holy crap. And then star down Tyler Guyton. You're not Tony Dorsett. Stop. And, oh, yeah. Star down to Bobby's guy, too. Ashley has termed him the turnsteel. And I love that. Terrence Steele. I'm done. That's enough.
It's bad.
Guyton can go to right tackle. Awesome Richards, who I thought was just taking over for Guyton after, you know, Herschel ended up fumbling. It was a shoulder injury, but it's enough. Bye-bye, Bobby. Sorry.
So a couple things. One, Steele, for the majority of the snaps, when you talk about dropping back 60 times, I think he gave up 4 pressures. Like, it was bad. On a couple reps were really bad, but the overall totality of the game, I did not think he was terrible in pass protection.
Okay.
The second aspect of this is you just gave the star down for the Tyler Guyton grabbing the ball and running. Defend your position, Chop. Choppy is saying he had no problem with it.
He's trying to make a play.
He said they all do it. Choppy says there's never been a lineman in the history of football who has not tried to Heisman his way through when he picks up the ball.
When you get the ball that just drops in your hands off somebody's back, like most guys just try to run with it.
There's no defense for it.
You're an athlete. You're making a play. You're trying to make a play.
No, you're an uncoordinated ball carrier and handler. And you just had film and tape of Terrence Steele the week before. There's your teaching moment. And this football team and coaching staff or player, I'll blame Guyton. In that moment, you sit there and you fall on the football. I've seen plenty of other linemen do it. So, you're wrong about it.
You fall on the ball when it's on the ground. This ball wasn't on the ground. This ball went right into his hands. It was off somebody's back. That's why, if it was on the ground, I totally agree with you. Fall on it. But when you catch it in midair, it's like, that's your first instinct is a run. You're an athlete. You're trying to make a play.
It was in the air like a tip pick would be.
Yeah, he didn't get it off the ground.
Okay.
Right. The ball was off the back,
but it was a fumble.
Okay.
Oh, it doesn't matter if it was a fumble or not. The ball's behind him
I do think there's a difference. I agree with you on that ball.
If it was on the ground, fall on it. Right. Yeah. But it came off the offensive lineman's back because like it went over his head.
I got to go look at that again because I don't remember. But I would agree with that difference.
Yeah, so that to me was like, that's why.
We've got some fun news that just came down. It's small news, but still, Shedeur Sanders will be here in North Texas on January 30th. He just accepted his invite to the Shrine Bowl, so he'll be performing in front of Cowboy Scouts.
East-West Shrine Bowl?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, baby.
Just like Belichick, who was here last week, according to Adam Schefter. Let me look at this Guyton play.
Looking at houses?
Yeah, that is different. I agree with you
on that.
But
you go down regardless. Once the ball's in your hand, you don't try to stiff arm people to get...
The stiff arm. I could have done without the stiff arm. Yeah. Right?
He thinks he's Desmond Howard.
And just run and fall forward like 4 or 5 yards.
So, I wanted just to watch Belichick during this game for two reasons. Number one, is there this absolute football genius that no one else is capable of and how much that could help the Dallas Cowboys next year? And number two, would he give away any hints? Because he has thrashed the New York Jets. He has killed the Atlanta Falcons. He is more than willing to take shots at people. And I'm like, all right, those people are out in terms of hiring him because he's killing them and he wouldn't even want to go work for them. Would he give away any love? Because he has this great relationship with Jerry and Steven. Here's what I wrote down for my Bill Belichick Manning Cast notes. And he spoke last week in DFW, apparently. That's why he was apparently here. Early on in this game, he just said, forget the run game. Nothing but quick passes. I think you saw that with Cooper Rush's pass attempts that some people tried to criticize afterwards. Why'd you just give up on the run? Well, early on in this game, like there was nothing. Peyton Manning was a little bit critical of CeeDee Lamb, actually, while I was listening to Belichick. He needed to get deeper on the interception. It was bad luck for Cooper Rush. Peyton talking about the soft coverage of Trayvon Diggs and the Cowboys D-backs on third and threes. But back to Bill, he said all year they've had a problem with play action. The linebackers don't match the routes in man or over on those crossing routes either. So all year long, play action has been a problem defensively. He said the Cowboys' defensive system is gap cancellation. They're going to run sideways on outside plays. That leaves room for the running back to cut it up. He thought Mixon, that was a good fit for him. It ended up being true. He called Mixon on a run on that touchdown run outside. He's like, Mixon, that they're audibling here to him running outside. He did. Called out the Cowboys' lack of tackling all year long. He said that San Francisco, they played Belichick beating the Barry Switzer Cowboys, that old Cleveland Browns highlight. He said San Fran sent a $500. It was the greatest food basket he had ever seen in his entire life. The 49ers sent that to Cleveland. It fed everyone with seafood, all the San Francisco delicacies for an entire week because that gave the 49ers home field advantage.
Antonio Langham.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, he had a pick in that game.
He gave Lamb leadership credit for stepping up. He said he stepped up and played tonight. And Peyton Manning said, tell Troy Aikman that in terms of giving CeeDee Lamb some credit. So that was a little side swipe towards Aikman or just an Aikman reference. On Jerry World with the sheet metal and the sun, he said when he was coaching here, I told all my guys, that thing is really distracting, that big screen up top. Really, really distracting. Look on the field. So maybe Bill doesn't take the Cowboy job because of the big screen up top. how would you defend Micah Parsons? He said, outside chip. They do a good job of stunting him and moving him around. He said, the old stadium, talking about that old Browns-Cowboys win. He was talking about the old stadium because you guys were comparing the light sun issues. He said, it wasn't the glare. It was the contrast of light and dark at the old stadium. Okay, he said it made it impossible to watch film.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're in the sun, but everything else is in the dark, or vice versa, and it changes the way you look at things.
Said the Cowboys do a nice job of moving CeeDee Lamb around. Hard to double. Need to play cover one against them and him. He did give personnel props to Steven and Jerry. On his All Belichick team on YouTube, it was like Cowboys love everywhere. With Brandon Aubrey, who he's in love with, and he was loving Kevontae Turpin. He's like, and they built their special teams cheaply. But when it comes to giving away hints of loving Jerry and Steven, or like, oh, I could see myself working there, I got none of that. And in fact, while watching it, I was like, it's ruining some of my Belichick fanfare and love, because I'm like, this guy, he's so miserable. I don't know how you could have an enjoyable conversation with the guy, especially these guys, Micah and Diggs. So I don't know if they're just going to blindly buy in, or any younger stars these days. I just don't. I feel like Mike Vrabel is that nice fit in between of younger guy, played, hard nose, but not Belichick. Like, I'm moving off of it. I just don't know how he would get along with people. He's so
very dry.
He's so miserable. Troy Aikman on a Cowboys route concept. Kind of, I don't know what's happening over there. Troy said Mike McCarthy told them, Cooper Rush, in order to win this game, we can't have him throw it 40 times. That got lit on fire. Aikman was saying only Texans fans were left at the end of the game. He needed a cocktail in the third quarter of this game. And those were my notes, trying to see if Bill Belichick was loving the Dallas Cowboys or not. I got none of it, but I didn't get any real true Falcon or Jets type insults.
It was so loud walking onto the field as time expired, because it was you're talking about like 30,000 Texan fans hanging around and just going nuts when time expired. It was it sounded like the way it does when we walk on the field after a Cowboys win. It was loud.
I mean, look, they had a lot of people dressed as seats. The towels never moved in some of those. There's a lot of empty seats there, and then a lot of Texan fans there. And that should be the worst possible case scenario for Jerry Jones. The worst thing he sees is, you know, he probably is okay with seeing other teams' fans here because they're still sold seats. The empty seats is the problem, but I guess they're sold anyway. They're just not resold.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.